Mark Stein presents
The 100 Years Ago Show. A composer murdered, an Iron Man crushed, and a woman sawn in two. It's January 1921.
100 years from today.
Your world news update: the messy aftermath of the Great War continues. Berlin has replied to France's disarmament ultimatum. Chancellor Fehrenbach says that Germany has done its best to comply with the Treaty of Versailles and has turned over 20,000 grenade launchers, 50,000 cannons, 60,000 machine guns, and 5 million rifles. But the Chancellor says that it is impossible to adhere to the letter to the terms of the treaty. Walker D. Hines, the American director of railroads chosen by the Allies to arbitrate the disbursement of the defeated enemy's munitions, has given 13.5% of Germany's Rhine River fleet of barges and tugs to France. In Turkey, the Allied forces have announced that the new government at Constantinople will be permitted to withdraw 400,000 Turkish pounds worth of gold from the Imperial Ottoman Bank to fund the Turkish treasury. The poet Gabriel D'Annunzio, who has described himself as Il Duce of his new state, has now ended his attempt to take over Fiume on the Adriatic coast and abandon the so-called Regency of Carnaro, proclaimed by him in 1919. The Republic of Central Lithuania is another new state backed by Poland and run by Lucian Zeligowski from his capital of Vilnius. General Zeligowski has now solidified his grip and announced the formation of a new police force for the Republic and a new court system. Since the Bolshevik Revolution, both American and Japanese troops have occupied parts of Russia, but they are uneasy allies. In Vladivostok, a US Navy lieutenant, Warren Langdon, has been shot by a Japanese sentry. The Earl of Reading, recently British ambassador in Washington, has stopped to rest his tired caravan in Hindustan. Among his many distinctions, Lord Reading was the first Jew to become England's Lord Chief Justice, and he is now the first Jew to be appointed Viceroy of India. Back in London, the government is ordering every household in Ireland to post a notice on the front door listing all persons resident in the dwelling or face criminal prosecution. As the security situation deteriorates, the government has also extended martial law to 4 more counties: County Clare, County Kilkenny, County Waterford, and County Wexford. In the United States, a special committee of the House of Representatives has voted to increase the number of congressmen from 435 to 483, but also to set a permanent limit of no more than 500 members of the House. On the Great White Way, municipal authorities have enacted, quote, the most radical change in street traffic regulations in the history of New York. From 7 o'clock in the evening, traffic through Times Square on both Broadway and on 7th Avenue shall be northbound only until midnight. This new routing will affect some 40,000 automobiles that travel through Times Square during theatre hours, a street on which you can only drive one way. Maybe someone should do a play about that, or at least a Ziegfeld Follies production number.
Here's a Japanese sandman sneaking on without you. Just an old second-hand man, he'll buy your old days from you.
Ah, that Japanese sandman can go pound sand. It's not just California electors voting to restrict land ownership rights of Japanese nationals. Citizens in Harlingen, Texas, have driven out two Japanese families who had recently purchased farmland in the municipality. The mayor of Davenport, Iowa, C.L. Bargwald, was elected, along with the majority of the city aldermen, as a candidate of the Socialist Party of America. Now he says he's done with the Socialist Party and called the city aldermen, quote, disciples of Lenin, with whom no one could compromise. Over the previous 6 months, says His Honour, the socialist majority has, quote, forced a program of radical legislation on the city. Mayor Bargwald, who hitherto identified as a follower of Leon Trotsky rather than Vladimir Lenin, now says, quote, the principles of Trotsky have no place in America. Sometimes you don't need a firebrand like Lenin or Trotsky. A fire has destroyed the West Virginia State Capitol building in Charleston. It started about 5 o'clock in the afternoon in a small room containing paper records of the State Public Service Commission. An electrician and a fireman were killed when a section of the roof collapsed. Only the outer shell of the building remains. Across the country, a lavish new hotel now graces Los Angeles. It opened at midnight on New Year's Eve in order that it could launch itself with Auld Lang Syne celebrations. It's called the Ambassador Hotel. Pittsburgh's KDKA radio station has notched up another first, the first live broadcast of a church service direct from the church. Using a telephone line to transmit the signal back to the station and the transmitter, KDKA successfully brought to its listeners the Sunday services of Calvary Episcopal Church. If you go to church by radio, do you have to wear your Sunday best?
Look for the silver lining whenever a cloud appears in the blue. Remember somewhere the sun is
another broadcasting first. Look for the silver lining whene'er a cloud appears in the blue. The silver lining is that you can now get an advance warning of that cloud and any precipitation that may issue therefrom. At 12:30 on January the 3rd, Milwaukee's radio station 9XM broadcast the first spoken word weather forecast in America. As Wisconsin farmers may recall, 9XM experimented with so-called weather forecasts before the World War, but only in Morse code. Radio weather forecasts have been broadcast in the United Kingdom, and 9XM believes they have appeal beyond just farmers. For the moment, they will continue to follow the spoken word forecast with the Morse code version. A story with a happy ending. On December 13th, the US Navy balloon A5598 took off from Rockaway, New York, and disappeared on the following day, since when not a word has been heard. It turns out it crashed in the Canadian wilderness, and the three aeronauts, Navy Lieutenants Louis Clore Jr., Stephen Farrell and Walter Hinton, only narrowly avoided coming down in icy James Bay. Instead, they landed about 20 miles north of Moose Factory Island, at the mouth of the Moose River. They wandered around for about 4 days before they ran into a Cree fur trader who initially mistook them for His Majesty's revenue agents. Once that misunderstanding was cleared up, he guided them to Moose Factory, where the Americans recuperated and then made their way to the nearest railway halt at Matis. No happy ending for the Spanish liner, the Santa Isabel. It ran aground on the rocks of Villa Garcia, and most passengers and crew were below deck because of a rough storm. In consequence, 244 people are now dead.
I sigh, I cry, it's just a glimpse of heaven
when my baby
smiles at me.
When your baby smiles at you, maybe it's because he knows he'll be a Grand Duke one day. Less than 2 years after her marriage, the young Grand Duchess of Luxembourg has given birth to a son and heir to be called Jean. William Robinson was an American electrical engineer who back in the 1870s invented the automatic track circuit signal that made train travel so much safer. He then invented the first coaster brake for bicycles, the first skates on rollers, the first repeating telephone. Mr. Robinson has died at the age of 80. Beatrice Lapalme was born in Beloeil, Quebec, and won the late Lord Strathcona and Mount Royal's first scholarship to the Royal College of Music. Within a few years, the Quebecois soprano had made her debut at the Royal Opera House, Covent Garden, and at the Opéra Comique in Paris, and was appearing in Lakmé, Madame Butterfly and La Fille du Régiment. Now she is dead at the age of just 42. Your World News Update. The messy aftermath of the Great War continues. The French government has lost a vote of confidence in the National Assembly, overwhelmingly by 463 to 125, because of its failure to enforce war reparations from Germany in compliance with the Treaty of Versailles. The United States Ambassador to France, Hugh Wallace, has formally informed America's fellow victors of the recent World War that it will withdraw from the Allied Council and no longer participate. When shall we meet again? Well, if you're American, it won't be at the League of Nations. Brazil's ambassador to France, Dr. Miguel Gastão da Cunha, has been named president of the new 8-member Council of the League. There are 4 permanent members of the Council, Great Britain, France, Italy, and Japan, and 4 non-permanent members elected by the League Assembly every 3 years. The first quartet of the non-permanent are Belgium, Brazil, Greece and Spain. In elections for the French Senate, the Radical Party and the Radical Socialist Party have together received a plurality of 43 seats, followed by the Republicans with 39. Former President Paul Deschanel is among the new senators. In British India, the first of the new councils giving Indians a limited advisory role in government has been inaugurated at Madras by His Royal Highness the Duke of Connaught, former Governor General of Canada, and the uncle of the King Emperor. For 30 years in the late 18th century, the Royal American Regiment was the only British Army regiment to be recruited from His Majesty's subjects in the American colonies. That ended with independence, but the regimental colours have now returned to the land from which its soldiers were drawn. In a service on Governor's Island in New York, the British ambassador to the United States, Sir Auckland Geddes, presented the colours to the Reverend Dr. William Manning. They will hang in the chapel of St. Cornelius the Centurion. In this 20th century, there has been no more influential voice in English song than Gervase Henry Carey Elwes. Mr. Elwes was not only the foremost interpreter of Elgar, Vaughan Williams, Roger Quilter, but of Brahms and other European art song composers. He had been in the United States on an acclaimed sellout concert tour that had reached the city of Boston. At Back Bay Station, he and his wife, Lady Winifred, had descended from the train when, according to reports, Mr. Elwes attempted to return to the conductor an overcoat which had fallen from the car. The train had already commenced moving. The great tenor leaned too far forward and was struck in full view of Lady Winifred. Mr. Elwes succumbed to his injuries in hospital a few hours later.
In valleys of springs of rivers, by Une and Team and Clan, the country for easy livers, the quiet and under the sun, we still have sorrows to lighten. One could not be always glad. And let new trouble at night on, when I was a knight on land.
Dead at 54 and at the peak of his powers, Gervase Elwes.
Thy bridges that Thames runs under, in London the town built here, is sure no matter for wonder if sorrow is with one's here. And if as a lad grows older, the troubles he bears are more, he carries on a shoulder that hands held them long before.
Also in the United States, the Senate has certified the votes of the Electoral College, and the outgoing Vice President Thomas Marshall has formally announced the election of Warren Harding and Calvin Coolidge as President and Vice President. The Commerce Secretary of the new administration will be Mr. Herbert Hoover. Aside from that distinction, Mr. Hoover is also the first man in America to have a public speech to a real audience broadcast live on the radio. The incoming Cabinet Secretary was giving his address in the Duquesne Club in Pittsburgh, and as he spoke, it was relayed by telephone to radio station KDKA about 10 miles away and thence to listeners as far as 1,000 miles away. Mr. Hoover's speech was on the subject of humanitarian aid to Europe.
I've got 10 little fingers and 10 little toes down in Tennessee waiting there for me.
Speaking of the Department of Commerce, it has far more sophisticated methods of tabulating data than 10 little fingers and 10 little toes, but they're not necessarily any more permanent. A fire at the Commerce Department's offices has destroyed government records from various decennial census surveys by the federal government. It did not apparently destroy any records of the 1920 census. Do you like that black gold? Well, petroleum production has come to Arkansas with the completion of the Busey Well number 1. In Japan, the Mitsubishi Shipbuilding Company has spun off part of its business into a separate corporation to be known as Mitsubishi Electric. Also in Japan, Baron Goro has died. He was chief of the Imperial Japanese Navy during the recent World War and raised to the rank of Marshal Admiral, even though he had never commanded a ship. Baron Goro was 68. Also dead is Rafael Antonio Gutierrez, former head of state of the United States of Central America. You're not familiar with the United States of Central America? Well, it was a short-lived union of El Salvador, Honduras, and Nicaragua. In his more prosaic capacity as president of El Salvador, Señor Gutierrez was toppled in a coup on November 13, 1898, and his unified Central American Republic fell apart just 2 weeks later. Your world news update. The messy aftermath of the Great War continues. France's failure to collect the full German reparations due under the Treaty of Versailles led to the collapse of its government. Now the French Chamber of Deputies has approved a new government led by Aristide Briand as Prime Minister. Turkey's Grand National Assembly has ratified a new constitution for the country. The document says not a word about the Sultan or any role he might play in the new constitutional order. Instead, executive power is delegated by the Assembly to its chairman and a council of ministers.
In the winter, in the summer, don't we have fun? Times are bum and getting bummer. Still we have fun.
Times are bum and getting bummer. Ain't that the truth, at least for the Russian people? The Soviet government has announced in its newspaper Pravda an immediate one-third reduction in the daily ration of bread for residents of its cities. This in the middle of winter during a long famine caused by last year's drought and a poor grain harvest, and by this year's heavy snows and fuel shortages, which have held up food trains from Siberia and the Northern Caucasus, where by direction of the central government, so-called surpluses of food are stored. Still, Bolshevism marches on. The Soviet Union has created two new autonomous Soviet socialist republics. The first in Dagestan on the Caspian Sea with a capital at Makhachkala. The second, the Gorskaya or Mountain Autonomous Soviet Socialist Republic in the Northern Caucasus Mountains, providing for limited self-government within the Russian Republic, from the Caucasus to Tuscany and the Socialist Party's convention in Livorno. After the party's vote against joining the Moscow-run Internazionale, the Italian socialists have split in two. "We who are in the minority are not going to accept this vote," announced Amedeo Bordiga of the pro-Russian faction. "Therefore, we announce that the communists will leave this hall and congregate in St. Mark's Theatre, where a new communist party will be formed. Hurrah for the communists!"
Thank you.
The Persian market has spoken. After barely 3 months in office, Fatullah Khan Akbar resigned as Prime Minister. He has now withdrawn his resignation after pressure from Persian business leaders. In London, Prime Minister Lloyd George has been making changes to his cabinet. Britain's Minister of War, Winston Churchill, is now Secretary of State for the Colonies. In his place at the War Office is Sir Laming Worthington Evans. Lord Lee is the new First Lord of the Admiralty, and Sir Arthur Griffith Boscawen, Minister of Agriculture. On John Bull's other island, Sinn Féin had laid an ambush for a detachment of the Black and Tans on a bridge at Drumconra on the north side of Dublin. But the government got wind of it and rushed troops and police to the scene, attacking the Irish Republican revolutionaries from the rear. Six Sinn Féiners were captured. One is said to have been fatally wounded. In the United States, the New York papers are reporting that the town of Killen, Alabama, has been completely destroyed by fire. No one knows how it started, but the blaze is said to have consumed Killen's post office, all three of its lodge halls, and all five of the town's stores. It has been a very lucrative January for Illinois train robbers. Following last week's haul of $197,000 in currency at Mount Vernon, thieves took $462,000 in bonds and cash from a mail train at Chicago's busiest terminal, Union Station. In Denver, Colorado, revenue agents have arrested the leader of a drug ring that operates in 22 of America's 48 states and is said to have annual revenues of over $1 million. President McKinley's former Assistant Treasury Secretary, Frank Vanderlip, has proposed the creation of a Council of Foreign Relations to be composed of 30 prominent businessmen and politicians who would, quote, direct American intercourse with foreign nations. Mr. Vanderlip foresees the council eventually taking over the treaty-making functions presently exercised by the United States Senate. A proposal to increase the number of congressmen from 435 to 483 has been overwhelmingly rejected by the House of Representatives. But a joint resolution has passed Congress calling on the Secretary of War to cease recruiting for the Army until the number of troops has been reduced from 224,000 to 175,000. We reported on the death a few days ago of Rafael Antonio Gutierrez, former head of state of the short-lived United States of Central America. He would be interested to learn that a treaty has been signed to merge the nations of El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Costa Rica into a single republic to be known as the United Provinces of Central America.
I've got 10 little fingers and 10 little toes down in Tennessee waiting there for me.
What about if the 10 little fingers and the upper torso were over here on the left, and the 10 little toes and the lower torso were over on the right? If you've ever wanted to see a woman sawn in half, you will surely enjoy the magician P.T. Selbit, who has, for the first time ever, performed that amazing feat on a public stage, that of the Empire Finsbury Park in London, with audience members holding the ends of ropes tied to his assistant to prevent her fleeing in terror. Theatre-goers were agog as Mr. Selbit sliced her in two. The lady in question, Miss Betty Barker, is reported to have been successfully put back together, and it is said that one cannot see the join. A new full-length comedy dramatic picture play, written, produced and directed by Charlie Chaplin, and of course starring him, has thrilled audiences at its New York premiere. The Kid also features in the title role 6-year-old Jackie Coogan, who was a particular hit with picturegoers at Carnegie Hall. During a mock battle in the Bay of Biscay, the Royal Navy submarine HMS K5 has sunk with the loss of all 56 officers and men. No one knows the cause of the disaster. A fellow Royal Navy man was rather luckier. In Stockholm Harbour, a sailor fell overboard from a British vessel that was in port. It was deep water and he appeared to be struggling. Fortunately, he was spotted by a kindly gentleman who went into the harbour, saved the drowning seaman and brought him to shore. The grateful sailor was astonished to learn that his rescuer was Crown Prince Gustav, son of the King of Sweden. This is not the first British subject His Royal Highness has held in his arms. His late wife, Crown Princess Margaret, was the daughter of the Duke of Connaught, former Governor General of Canada. Mykola Leontovich, the Ukrainian composer, is dead at the age of 43. He was staying at the home of his parents for the Orthodox Feast of the Nativity, that's Christmas, when another young man asked to stay the night and did so in Mykola's room. Unfortunately, he was an undercover agent of the Cheka, the Bolshevik secret police, and he shot the composer dead at dawn. This is the music that seems most likely to outlive its creator, Mykola Leontovich's Ukrainian bell carol, Shedrin. The anatomist Heinrich Wilhelm Gottfried von Waldeyer-Hertz is dead at 84. Among many achievements, he coined the terms neuron and chromosome. The perennial contender for the world bantamweight title, Austin Rice, was known as the Iron Man, if only that were so. He was run over in Connecticut by his own horse-drawn wagon and is dead at the age of 48. He leaves a son, presently in jail, charged with the murder of Inspector McHenry. Arthur Sifton is dead at the age of 62. He was the second Premier of the province of Alberta and latterly Secretary of State for Canada, responsible for relations with the Imperial Government in London. He was one of two Canadian signatories to the Treaty of Versailles. Your world news update, the messy aftermath of the Great War continues. The Allied victors of the Supreme War Council have given diplomatic recognition to the new Republic of Estonia and to the new Republic of Latvia. They have also adjusted the total reparations that Germany will have to pay under the Treaty of Versailles. Under the adjusted plan, Berlin would pay them 2 billion gold marks per annum for the first 5 years, 4 billion per annum from 1926 to 1930, and 6 billion every year from 1931 to 1963, for a total of 222 billion gold marks. On the other hand, the Allied Council has relinquished some of its financial claims against the former Austro-Hungarian Empire. The French Supreme Court has reversed the convictions of six soldiers charged with desertion in 1914. Their commanding officer now says he ordered the men to retreat. At trial, he had denied giving any such order. It is of small consolation to his men. They were executed 6 years ago. However, their widows will receive lifetime pensions of 2,000 francs a year, and their minor children will receive 1,000 francs. The doctor's gonna do all that he can, but what you're gonna need is an undertaker man. Tell it to the followers of the Mad Mullah, who now have a bad case of the crazy blues. For 20 years in Somaliland, Mohammed Abdullah Hassan has been famed as the Mad Mullah. That is not a name the British or the Italians gave him, but the Somalis, Wadad Wal, the Mullah who is a lunatic. Nevertheless, he and his dervishes have been a thorn in the side of the British, Italian and Ethiopian empires. London has had enough. They have bombarded the Mad Mullah and his men by air and by massive land attack. Many of his key lieutenants have been killed or captured. The fate of the Mad Mullah himself is not yet known. In the United States, for the last 2 years, the Russian Soviet Government Bureau in Manhattan has functioned as an informal embassy of the Bolshevik regime, which is unrecognized by America. Following raids by New York police and legislative investigations for sedition, the State Department has now deported the would-be ambassador Ludwig Martens back to the Soviet Union. 5 weeks before he leaves office, President Woodrow Wilson has announced that he will not commute the jail sentence of Socialist Party leader Eugene Debs, who is serving a 10-year sentence at the federal penitentiary in Atlanta for espionage. Mr. Wilson's Attorney General, Mitchell Palmer, had recommended that Debs be released on Lincoln's birthday, February 10th. There was a race riot the other day in Warrenton, North Carolina, that left 5 whites and 3 black persons injured. 13 Negroes were arrested and held in the Warren County Jail. Now a lynch mob has broken into the jailhouse and spirited away 2 of the instigators of the riot. Alfred Williams and Plummer Bullock were taken a mile out of town into the woods and, quote, riddled with bullets. Another Negro, convicted murderer Henry Lowry, has been kidnapped while on a train taking him to the Texas State Penitentiary. A mob of 25 men in 6 high-powered automobiles waited at the railroad station in Sardis, Mississippi. When the train bearing Henry Lowry pulled in, the mob overpowered the 2 sheriff's deputies guarding him and then drove the murderer to Nodina, Arkansas. He was tortured and then chained to a log covered with brush and burned to death. It was a slow expiry. Lowry's torturers turned him over like a piece of meat and replenished the fire with oil. According to reports, quote, it was 40 minutes before the last death agony died away and the Negro's charred body lay still in death, unquote. Governor McRae calls this lynching the most disreputable act ever committed in Arkansas. A hit theatrical production in Prague has introduced a new word to the language. Carol Kapik's play is called RUR, which stands for Rosumovi Universalni Roboti, or Rosum's Universal Robots. What is a robot? Well, they appear to be human, but they're made in a factory and they do all the drudge work in our society, freeing human beings up to enjoy themselves, at least until the robots take over the world. There are both male robots and female robots, or robotesses. And the robotesses are kind of cute. For example, the manager of the company has a robotess secretary. But don't get too sweet on her.
Ma, she's making eyes at me. Ma, she's awful nice to me. Ma, she's almost breaking my heart. I'm beside her. Mercy, let her conscience guide her. Ma, she wants to marry me. Be my honeybee. If I love her, I may lose her. Sin is brutal to refuse her. Ma, she's kissing me. Ma, she's climbing on my knee. Ma, she's telling jokes to me. Ma, she's almost breaking my heart. Hurry, will ya? Ma, she's getting too familiar. Ma, make her stop teasing me. She won't let me be. Oh, what brand new words she's speaking. Hurry, Ma, before I weaken. Ma, she's kissing me.
In Sweden, the ladies won't be making eyes, they'll be making X's. On ballot papers, Sweden has become the latest country to permit women the right to vote. Do you know what black light is, or ultraviolet light? Dr. Robert Wood of Johns Hopkins University has given the first demonstration of a new lamp that uses filters to eliminate visible light while projecting ultraviolet light, or black light. The lamp thus reveals chemicals that are not detectable in ordinary light. Dr. Wood calls his invention the chemical eye. In sports news, the New York Yankees baseball team has announced that it will no longer be sharing Manhattan's famous polo grounds with the New York Giants. Instead, they're moving to the Bronx and building a stadium of their own on land they bought from the Hebrew Orphan Asylum. Construction will begin in June. At a National Hockey League game in Montreal, the Ottawa Senators quit their match against the Canadiens and walked off 5 minutes before the end. They were protesting a man they regarded as a very biased referee, Cooper Smeaton. With the Ottawa team gone, Mr. Smeaton allowed the game to continue, with the Montreal Canadiens facing an open goal, no goaltender, no defenders, and Newsy Lalonde and Amos Arbour each put the puck in the net as easily as anybody ever has in the history of the game. The NHL is likely to fine the Ottawa Senators for their rejection of the referee's authority. Blow my baby back to me, and my livestock, and my trees, and my farmhouse. The state of Washington has been struck by the Great Olympic Blowdown, the most powerful storm in the history of the state. The high winds swept from the Pacific Ocean across the Olympic Peninsula at up to 113 miles per hour and have wreaked havoc all the way to Walla Walla. Millions of trees have been toppled, including over 40% of those on the southwest slopes of the Olympic Mountains. Hundreds of farm animals have been killed by flying debris, but so far only two people have been killed. Destructive winds sweep on. The first aircraft to cross the Atlantic Ocean, R-34, has been destroyed by heavy winds shortly after its arrival at the Royal Naval Air Station at Howden in Yorkshire. The dirigible was one of Britain's most expensive aircraft, valued at £250,000. The U.S. freighter SS Hewitt left Port Arthur, Texas on January the 20th and then lost radio contact off the coast of Florida. All 42 of its crew are feared lost. The cargo schooner Carol A. Deering was last heard from when it tried to hail a lightship And was then glimpsed a day later, moving toward the Diamond Shoals in choppy waters. It has run aground off the coast of North Carolina, but there is not a trace of its 10-man crew. The only living creature on board was the ship's mascot, a parrot. More transport disasters. On the Cambrian Railway in Wales, the northbound express from Aberystwyth to Shrewsbury was flying down the rails when it saw the local southbound train from Welshpool to Aberystwyth ahead, coming toward it on the single-line track. They hit at 12:30 and 17 people are dead. Sometimes you don't need a train or a ship. 12 guests of the Colonial Hotel in Hoboken, New Jersey, 6 men and 6 women, are dead and 3 others are seriously injured after a fire broke out. The fire started when another guest left his room with a lit cigar smouldering in an ashtray. The cigar set fire to the curtains and the flames spread. Frederick Parkhurst will go down as the shortest-serving governor of Maine. He was elected in September and took office just 26 days ago. He is dead of pneumonia at the age of 56. William T. Sedgwick has been hailed as the first true epidemiologist in the United States and the great reformer of public health services. Whatever his contributions to the health of Americans, Dr. Sedgwick saw nothing healthy in female emancipation and would not have approved of those Swedish ladies getting the vote. He regarded women's suffrage as an abomination that would lead to, quote, a degeneration and degradation of human fibre which would turn back the hands of time 1,000 years. He is dead at 65. Alfred White, known to all as Brooklyn's first citizen, was also a reformer of low-income housing. He replaced filthy tenements with affordable, clean apartment buildings. He was out skating, the thin ice cracked, he fell through and drowned at the age of 74. Francis McEwan Belford met President Lincoln just the once in 1861, shortly after his election. She was a tireless activist for a coast-to-coast road across the United States. As she put it, what could be finer evidence of national loyalty than a wide, fair highway traced through the heart of the land, built, maintained, guarded, beautified by the people of the states traversed by it? Dead at 82, she will forever be remembered as the mother of the Lincoln Highway. And that's the way of the world, January 1921.
100 years from today, 100 years from today.
The 100 Years Ago Show is a production of Markstein Enterprises and O'Kill Media. All rights reserved.